Wait, okay, so in fairness, it's possible she survived the night and died the next morning, or like,
yeah, and there was no clarification. That's what I was upset about. He said, but she did survive the night.
Like, did she bleed out that night, or
yeah, did she pass away? But her ghost is still there.
She survived the night and went on to live for 60 more years, but went back to that one spot that really pissed her off.
Before she died, when she was 90, after a good, long, healthy life.
Leaving behind multiple family and friends.
Really, a life well lived. Ooh. It's scary. Spooky. I never meant to be so bad to you. One thing I said that I would never do. A look from you and I would fall from the heart of Terror Lake, where we have been telling spooky stories before the show tonight. It's Mr. 100 and the Five Star Man, featuring Tanner in the background. There it is. I'm Shannon Young. I'm Mr. 100 officially once again, and I'm going to be your host tonight. There was that time I lost the name. I won it back in a match against Ahmed Johnson. It's a long story. Asa Gray is a five-star man. He's down at the end of the table.
Yes.
And before the show, Asa, you had a wonderful idea about taking scary stories
and then just making them completely lame.
Making them lame. Like taking the old, what would you say, the classic hook for a hand?
Well, that one, I don't like that one as much. That one needs some refinement.
That was a little lame. That was too lame for you.
That was too lame. But like the person who picks up the hitchhiker and goes to return the sweater to her house. But my daughter's been dead for, she died 20 years ago last night. Oh, you mean Amber, my other daughter. Oh, yeah, I'll go get her.
Yeah, because Jenny, boy, she's a bitch. I'm glad she's gone.
We'll miss her. She was just wandering around dark streets all night.
Yeah, she's screaming on Bloomfield Road and can't get her to come home. Yeah, that's the joke on that one. All right, so.
What's the opposite of a callback?
Preview? Throw forward?
Throw forward, yeah.
So when I was in college, we went to a seminar type thing. I forget what it was, but there was a guy there. He walks out and he has a jersey on, and he goes, and this is one of me and Bob's favorite things to quote. He says, "What do you guys think? This is my throwback." And someone in the crowd yells, "Throw it back!" It was so stupid, but it stuck with me for all these years. So was he?
I'm hoping he was just on stage. Just you could see him die that moment.
He had a look on his face like, my mom got me this jersey. Mm-hmm. This was my favorite jersey. And you're being very insulting to me right now, sir, and I don't appreciate it.
It's like the Ben Garant, I think is his name. He wrote, I think him and Reno 911, Thomas Lennon, they screenwrote a bunch of movies. And then they were in Reno 911. They wrote a book called How to Get Rich Writing Movies or something like that, but it was scratched out because you're not going to get rich doing that.
Right.
But he tells a story about how he's always disliked Billy Crystal because his dad or his granddad or someone got him a tie, and it was kind of a colorful tie, and they had a meeting with Billy Crystal, and the entire meeting, all Billy Crystal wanted to do was like throw jabs at the tie. And he's like, no, my dad got this for me. And I don't know if it was one of those things where it's like he got it for me before he died, or
right, like it had a deep meaning or
something.
Yeah,
it's like, so yeah, like he had a, you know, he knew it wasn't a stylish tie, but he's a comedy writer. He was wearing it, but all Billy Crystal wanted to do was just harp on the tie. And so he's never liked Billy Crystal.
I would tell that guy, at least Billy Crystal noticed you. Billy Crystal took notice of something you had. Like, that's pretty cool. But whatever.
And then was a total tool about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's Billy Crystal. What are you going to do? Speaking of celebrities, so this is something that happened today, and I don't have a lot to say about it, but apparently Demi Lovato, you read about Demi Lovato, right?
No.
She apparently overdosed today and was rushed to the emergency room, was given Narcan, I think it's called. Is it Narcan, Tanner? Narcan. And she, which is apparently used to counter the effects of opioids. Mm-hmm. They're not saying it was heroin. Originally, it was said it was heroin. They're saying now that it might not have been heroin, but she definitely overdosed on something, and I think she's in intensive care right now.
Oh, so she didn't die.
She did not die.
Okay.
No, which is good. Which is good. And I say that because you would be surprised of how many people are online, like, making fun of it. And I get it. I used to be the kind of guy that would make inappropriate jokes. That's actually something we're going to touch on here in a second, too. But I guess I'm at a point now where I'm mature enough where I don't find things like that funny.
Right.
One of the guys that we know vaguely, Crusher Koloff, he posted it and someone replied to him saying, another celebrity overdose, who cares? And I replied to him and said, probably her family, her friends. There's lots of people that probably care. Because I think that's shitty just because you don't like a celebrity that you revel in their misery and death.
I mean, we kind of talked about that with when Zack Snyder left Justice League.
Yeah.
Because of the terrible circumstances around that. It's like you don't have to appreciate an artist's work to respect the fact that they're a human being. And it's still, it's a bummer too because it reminds me of like Amy Winehouse.
Yeah.
Who very clearly needed help.
Who famously died from drug abuse. Yeah.
And well, I don't know if she died of an overdose or not, but
it's definitely played a part in her death.
Right.
Yeah.
And but she was surrounded by people who instead of like trying to get her to get help, just fed into that lifestyle and then try to profit off of it. And it's the same. I was listening to old Game Over Greggy shows that from Kind of Funny that they do. And one of the ones that I listened to was they were talking about when the lead singer of Linkin Park, Chester, killed himself. And it's like, man, but at the on the one hand, like, yes, it's a tragedy. You don't hope for that. But at what point are you not allowed to be surprised that that happened? Because everyone knew, anyone who had a brief passing of knowledge of Linkin Park's music knew that Chester had those demons.
Right.
And that's what kind of drew people to him. And you knew, like, okay, it's part of his art. You are, in a sense, enjoying what he's going through. Not, like, in a malicious way at all.
No,
because
but he's translating
because
that into
he's turning that
performance.
And turning it into performance that you're enjoying. So it's that thing of, like, man, is that kind of gross, though?
Right.
Like, to know that it eventually, like, beat him?
You know, I literally, you know Shelby Potts?
Yeah.
I ran into Shelby yesterday, the day before yesterday, at Walmart. Mm-hmm. Allie and I had stopped in to get stuff for dinner, and he was there with somebody. And Shelby and I talk a lot online because, you know, he has dealt with suicidal tendencies. Mm-hmm. I have dealt with depression and stuff like that. So we kind of bonded over it. And we never talk in person, so it's weird to see him in person and to, like, have an actual conversation.
He's so handsome.
He is very handsome. He's a super cool guy. I love Shelby. He's awesome. And we, you know, he asked me how I'm doing. I asked how he's doing because we always check on each other. And we talked about that, about how, because the person that he's with brought it up, but how he uses his depression and his music to make music. When I was writing, especially before when I was writing, I would use my depression and my writing to create characters and scenarios, and I would use that, and you kind of embrace it to create art. But yeah, is the art worth what you're putting yourself through for it? You know, and how do you break that hold of depression, you know, when you feel like you tap into it?
Right. Well,
it's a creative outlet.
And it's also like kind of a trap that people fall in. I don't want to say they use it like a crutch, but like they become worried that they don't, at a certain point when they're ready to take steps to, you know, to become better and work towards being better. Not that it's, you know, just that easy. You just decide one day, I'm going to be better. But like when you make that conscious decision, because that does play a part in it, there are, you know, people who are worried that, and it's the same thing with like drug addiction. What if what I do now that I'm clean or now that I'm dealing with this isn't as good? What if my art will suffer? Fine, good. Because, I mean, like, it's the health of the artist always goes
before the art.
But before the art. And it's because it's, we've talked about it on PW before. Like, how, on a surface guttural level, we miss the chair shots to the head.
Right.
Because there is just an aesthetic, like, boy, that's brutal and it's vicious and it really, and
it taps
looks,
into
and
that,
it looks great.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
at the same time, if someone does it incorrectly, like Justin was talking about, like, I mean, if you get your hands up and that's what you do, it's fine. But how many times did we see someone not get their hands up in time?
Or not even try.
Not even try. And it's like, you know, no, the long-term effect of that,
that is
isn't worth.
A main reason, one of the biggest reasons that I don't get on antidepressants, and I've talked about Allie with this and Lindsay too to an extent, is that I'm afraid of who I will be if I'm not the me that I am now.
Right.
And I know for a fact that antidepressants and stuff like that, they will change the chemicals in your brain. They will make you different, or they're supposed to. That's the point of them. They get rid of the depression. And there's part of me that I don't want to not be me anymore. And I'm afraid of who I might become if I'm on medication.
And that is the depression. That's the depression.
Let go?
Yeah, exactly. Because like the you that you will be is you. You just won't have that heavy of the depression influence on there, which is...
And it's amazing to me how many people feel that way and don't want to get help. Mm-hmm. That for whatever reason they just don't want to get help. Bob is like that. You know, I know he's depressed and we've talked about it many times, but he doesn't want to seek help for mm-hmm. whatever reason. I had a friend, I'm not going to say names, it's still very fresh, but I had a friend who committed suicide over the weekend. Mm-hmm. And I got the message on Sunday from her mother. She messaged me and told me what happened. And I had no idea. You know, I saw these Instagram posts. I saw stuff, which these days it's kind of hard to tell what's performance and what's not.
Mm-hmm. Like, or what's a meme.
What's a meme.
Because like every joke now is like, yeah, no will to live.
Right.
It's great.
Yeah, it's become humor. Mm-hmm. And she did post something a couple of days ago. The last thing I saw her post was a picture of her crying, makeup smeared, and it looked really bad. Mm-hmm. And the caption was, leave Britney alone. Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay, in retrospect now, was that something that we should have looked into? Where at the time, I just thought, oh, that's a funny thing. Remember when Chris Crocker did that and leave Britney alone and everyone had a good laugh at him? Like, well, now she's gone.
Right.
Was that something? And, you know, I would like to get rid of that depression at some point. That would be good. It hasn't pushed me to that point yet, but it's come pretty close. But I'm still here. And Demi Lovato is still here. And I just wanted to say, even though I know she will never hear this, that I don't care what anyone says. Like, I am pulling for her. She's 25 years old. Mm-hmm. No 25-year-old should die. No one should die that early. No one should die.
Right.
No one should ever die. But especially at 25 years old from a drug overdose. And she was 6 years sober, by the way. 6 years sober before she relapsed either this year or last year.
See, and that's where it's super dangerous because, like, not necessarily, like, if she had been using again for a while, it's less this situation. But, I'm totally blanking on his name. He was on Parks and Rec. He was Harris on Parks and Rec. And I think his name was Harris. But he was a super well-known, like, up-and-coming comedian, like, super beloved on the West Coast. Like, I think he was an improv comedian. But he was sober, and, like, that was part of his comedy. And he died of an overdose. But it's because... Harris Whittles, yeah. Thank you. He was clean and then relapsed. And when he relapsed, he OD'd because he went back to using the amount that he used after a long period of time of drug use.
Right.
And your body adjusts. And now it's like, you know, when you drink, when you start drinking, you get drunk after two beers. And then after a couple years, you can knock down a six pack on your own and be fine. But then if you stop drinking all of a sudden and you go years without drinking, your body isn't used to that, tolerance level just drops. So you go back and you try to have the 12 beers then and you're blackout, throwing right. up, alcohol poisoning potentially. And it's just her body may have adjusted to
being sober.
Being sober. And then if she goes back, and especially if she's using at the level, which that's totally speculation. I don't know. I didn't know this had happened until
I mentioned it.
You mentioned it, so...
I didn't know about it until right before we started recording, because I don't know what I checked something, or maybe it was when the Crusher Koloff, he posted mm-hmm. it and I saw it, and it makes me really, really sad, because I'm one of the people that, like, I pay attention to pop culture. That's mm-hmm. what's one of my things, and I've seen, like, the struggle of Demi Lovato, where she had body issues. She was, I think she's either bulimic or anorexic at one point. If I'm wrong about that, I apologize, but something like that. Okay, Tanner's giving me the nod. She cut herself a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things that she, over the years, has, like, you'll see a picture of her talking about positive body image and, look, guys, we can do this. And then the next is her partying. And it's like, you could tell there's a struggle there of someone right. that's trying to, like, be a better person. And for anyone to wish that, or to say who cares when someone is, like, in bad shape and needs help, like, I just think that's despicable. So if you are like that, and I'm not going to, like, flip you off or say F you or anything like that, but I ask that you just reevaluate your thought process when you hear about something like this. It doesn't matter who it is, whether it's Demi Lovato, your best friend, Kim Kardashian, whoever.
Or a total stranger.
You should not wish suffering on people. It shouldn't be a thing.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be a thing. And that's all I wanted to say on that. I want to give a congratulations out real quick to Parker Hendricks for winning the poll.
Is it official?
It's official. Okay. Parker Hendricks wore the Hawaiian shirt better. Like, that's one of the only times that if I would hold up a sign that said, if Parker doesn't win, we riot. Because I legitimately would riot after that. So that poll got way more votes than any of ours ever did. So I want to congratulate Parker for once again proving.
Well, none of our polls have involved Parker so far.
That's an interesting question. Who we could do
Parker
a poll
of the week.
We could do like who's cuter not watching Ghostbusters, Parker or Cody? Like put a picture of them side by side.
Well, you know Parker's seen it because Hunter's seen it in the
Yeah, he's seen
it. So Parker has seen it, but he may not have processed it.
But from a proxy, he's seen it at least. Yeah, very good. Very good. That's a good jab at Cody. Good subtle jab. All right, we're going to talk a little about Comic-Con here in a second. Before we do, I wanted to get your thoughts on, we talked about it right before the show, and I like to get thoughts on the air, about the recent rash of old tweets, old messages coming back up and costing people jobs, costing people money. We saw, who was it? Who was the one that just a while ago? James Gunn.
Yeah.
That James Gunn was fired for making some very inappropriate jokes. Dan Harmon in the news today about jokes that he or
a video he made
called Daryl, which was pretty offensive. My personal belief on this, and my belief has never changed, and that is that comedy is all or nothing. You can either make fun of everything or you can't make fun of anything. Now, I'm not saying I agree with it. Like, I don't like it. I don't think baby rape jokes are funny in any way. I don't think rape jokes are funny in any way. I never thought rape jokes were any funny. The only time I ever used rape in the sense of anything, and I don't do it anymore for reasons obvious, but if you're playing a video game and you beat someone like, oh, you just got raped or something like that.
Right.
Growing up, that was something we said. It's not something I say anymore. But I believe that comedy is open. You should be able to make fun of everything, but that's just my belief on it. Like, I'm curious what you think. No, I'm not. Let me preface that by saying that I also disagree with James Gunn getting fired because I don't know. It's just like it was a 10-year-old tweet. It was bad jokes, sure, well, but if you start pointing the finger at people for what they've said in the past, nobody in Disney's going to be clean.
We talked about this on Nerd Up quite a bit.
Well, I spend too much time on it,
and it's the same thing like that I said then. Was I understand why Disney fired him. I also understand that apparently they knew about these tweets. He has since apologized and like has worked towards, because he was someone who, like, I think it was his brother,
Sean,
went on a huge thing on Twitter talking about like he used to be super, you know, edgy like that. And he was worried taking a big job like Guardians of the Galaxy and working with someone like Disney and Marvel would soften his edge. But then as he was doing it, he realized, oh, that edge is entirely not necessary, and it let him grow as a writer. And so he's since like actively, you know, he's done interviews where he talks about, yeah, I don't make those jokes anymore. And don't get it twisted. Like I said, like Disney is totally within their right to fire him.
Right.
And for the tweets that he'd made, I completely understand why Disney would want to distance themselves from that kind of image.
Right.
That said, this was a specific attack by a psycho right-wing person whose entire like job now is to dig through celebrities' old, super old tweets and social media to try to get them fired because they don't like Donald Trump.
Right.
Who we are now holding a director of a Marvel movie to a higher standard than the president. So
that's a good point. I never thought of it that way.
But but this is also the same person who says that, you know, date rape isn't a thing.
Yeah.
And he's just he himself is a complete and utter scumbag.
And I think he because I heard all about this last night. I think it was on Philip DeFranco. Philip DeFranco was talking about it. And I think it was Philip. And he posted something in response to, I think it was Patton Oswalt that called him out on that. Mm-hmm. And he replied to it by, I think, just bringing up something Patton Oswalt had said that wasn't just the out of context things. It's something that he had actually said. Mm-hmm. And like, is this where we want to go? Is we just want to like, it's just mudslinging of like, oh, you said that, but I said, but
I mean, yeah,
I said this, but you said this.
Yeah, it's absolutely not productive, but it's just, but the thing that bothers.
Oh, because they want to defend the president. Like, oh, that's another subject. I don't want to touch on it.
The thing that mostly bothers me about it is it's the lack of consistency. Johnny Depp is about to star in a major movie, but he was accused of beating his wife.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Exactly.
Legitimately beat his wife, was arrested for it, and is still, you don't hear about that.
He's beloved. Yeah. I mean, Donald Glover in his weirdo stand-up, he has rape jokes. And he's going to be in The Lion King.
Right.
Eric, you know, I said on Sunday, Eric Andre is going to be in The Lion King. Sarah Silverman
John
is
Oliver
now in two.
Has probably said something at some point. Most comedians have, I think.
Yeah.
Like, most comedians have said something super offensive. Mm-hmm. So I don't understand why that's the new game. Especially if it's like 10 years ago. What happened to believing that someone can change?
Right.
You know, like,
well, a lot of people are trying to say that this is the exact same thing as Roseanne, Which it's entirely not, because what Roseanne said was
3 weeks ago.
Yeah, like it was recent. It was she'd had a long history of crazy hateful nonsense like that before, and then she was working with someone and then said something. Whereas this was, he made jokes before he had any relationship with these companies,
right?
And then they are resurfacing because someone went out of their way to find them,
right?
To bring up all of this faux outrage, which, like I said, if it was someone on their side of the fence, they would have thought was hilarious.
They would be defending to no end.
Exactly. And so it's the thing that I hate in politics now, where it is, it's my side versus your side,
right?
And it's the least helpful thing ever, because neither side has every answer,
right?
And they won't. And when you are, your goal is to, well, I just want my side to win. I don't care how we do it.
That's not what America should be about.
That's not helpful to anyone.
I still think that the thing that everyone should go watch, if you haven't already, is go watch the Jon Stewart on the show Crossfire when he's being interviewed by Tucker Carlson, mm-hmm. who is walking slime. Mm-hmm. I hate Tucker Carlson with a passion. And some liberal who I don't remember, and that's how important he is. Like, that's how
he was the slight one with the glasses.
I have to take your word.
I don't remember.
I think you're thinking of Hannity and Combs. That was Sean Hannity and Alan Combs. And
yeah.
Alan Combs had glasses. No, this is some, I think, like a bald white guy. Anyways, that's how important he is.
Mm-hmm.
Tucker, and that's why Tucker Carlson is like has his own show now and all that, is because he's outspoken, loud, and obnoxious. And the other guy was just kind of soft and whatever. But Jon Stewart went on there and he basically questioned on, why are we doing this to each other? Why is the right and left? Why is this a war?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why? How is this productive?
They thought he would like come in and be this huge, because my favorite one was like, no, I'm not your fucking monkey.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna dance for you.
And Tucker Carlson said, "Wow, you're a bigger dick than we thought you would be." And he's like, "Well, you're just as big of a dick as I thought you would be."
Mm-hmm.
He got that show canceled.
Yeah,
that's how embarrassing it was. And whenever I hear the politics of left and right, that's what I always feel like is go back and watch that.
Mm-hmm.
Like that shit just tears our country apart. But that not what we're talking about tonight, so we'll save that for another time. But anyway, yeah, I think it's ridiculous. I just wanted to point that out, because you never know who's gonna. Dave Bautista said, "What are you gonna do when the cyber Nazis come for you? Everyone's at risk." And even though that's a stupid term, cyber Nazis, I hate the term Nazi in anything. Nazis are very specific.
Except when they're literal Nazis.
Except when they're actually Nazis.
And saying that only white people should be allowed to do things.
Yeah,
and chanting blood and soil.
But like grammar Nazi, feminazi, stupid terms like that. I hate that, because I don't even like comparing presidents to like Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing that drives me nuts. But anyway, he's right though. It's like, who are they going to go after next? What thing did you say at one point in your past that you now have to worry about? Or are they going to dig this up?
Mm-hmm.
Because if I ever got popular, I'm a dead man.
See, but I mentioned this specifically on Sunday too. Is it's because we talked about this where after the Hogan thing, where Hogan, every apology he's made, and like we talked about how the one where he apologized to the locker room was filmed.
Yeah.
So there's no way that could be as genuine as you want to believe. And even the words he used where he said, well, hey, you know, he didn't apologize for what he said.
Be careful.
Be careful with what you say, because you never know who's going to be recording.
Right.
Like,
that's apologizing for getting caught, not for the act.
Exactly. So whereas you have been very open about the type of humor and the type of jokes you've made in the past, and you've also been very open about actively changing. And if you go back, even from the beginning of Podzilla to where we are now,
I'm a different person.
It is noticeably different. Like, it's empirically different.
That's true. But I also feel like, James Gunn.
No one's going to care. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So,
yeah. So, thankfully, I won't get that popular. I'll never be on James Gunn level. Oh, I wish I would. All right. While we're talking about movies and stuff like that, you guys talked about it on Earn Up. I didn't listen to it. Dalton told me you guys talked about it, and I wanted to talk to you about it without knowing your thoughts ahead,
because
I think that makes for better discussion. So San Diego Comic-Con was last week or over the weekend or something. A lot of big trailers came out. Let's talk about some of those trailers with the Mr. 100 perspective, which is far superior to who reviews movies nowadays, because I know Ebert and Siskel and Ebert are both dead.
Are they both? I thought only one of them did.
No, Siskel died in the 90s due to brain cancer.
Yeah.
And then Ebert died in the 2000s due to...
Oh, is he the one that had throat?
And he like had his jaw removed. That's... There's a great special that I'll never watch that Ebert did right before he passed away, talking about his life. And it came out after he had passed away. I won't watch it because Ebert was one of my favorite people.
I'm not trying to make light of it at all, but didn't they end up hate each other?
No, that was just for TV.
Was it?
Yeah, they were actually good friends.
See, I thought it was the opposite. I thought it's like they played all buddy-buddy on TV, but then they, like, behind the scenes,
they argued nonstop on TV, but they were such good friends that it was kind of like the Benoit-Guerrero thing, that when Guerrero died, Benoit was never the same. Mm-hmm. Same thing. When Siskel passed away, Ebert was never the same. They did an interview with him shortly before he passed away where he found out that something, I think it was like Chicago Tribune or one of the papers I wrote for, had deleted his... like eulogy that he had done for Siskel, became incensed because it meant so much to him. So no, they were good friends.
Okay.
They were good friends. It's kind of like us. Like everyone assumes we all hate each other because we say it all the time.
It's like when the show ends and it's just we're screaming at each other.
Yeah, it's just as soon as we hit stop, we start throwing curse words at each other. Let's start with Shazam. I know you guys talked about these all on Sunday, but I want in on it. Shazam's trailer, what did you think about it?
I liked it. I'm hoping that they don't do Suicide Squad, where we got all the jokes in the trailer, but it looked actually kind of lighthearted. From a writing perspective, it was still shot like it was Batman Begins, where it's just everything looks super dark.
Yeah,
like everything was like overcast and raining at night.
What about the Zachary Levi, though?
I will never get over how bad I hate that muscle suit.
Okay.
In motion, it's not as bad as that still that we got from Entertainment Weekly.
Also, I want to make a clarification after you say this.
But it's... I feel bad because I'm just repeating everything I said on Sunday, but like...
And I apologize, but...
It's... When you have people like John Cena, and especially if The Rock is going to be Black Adam, where The Rock will be in skin-tight spandex... and still be bigger than Zachary Levi in the obvious muscle suit.
Right.
And it's just like, and don't get me wrong, like he got in great shape for the role, but there's only so much mortal men can do.
Right.
And there's only like five people on the planet who have the actual body type to play Shazam. The problem is one of them would be an amazing Shazam.
Who is because
John Cena.
Okay.
Because John Cena, as a 10-year-old who's now in an adult superhero body,
it fits.
Would be amazing.
Is John Cena, and wasn't he up for the role, or he had talked about doing it?
I don't think it was ever anything official, as much as just like when the rumor hit that Rock was going to be Black Adam, because the original thing was we were going to get a Black Adam movie before the Shazam movie.
See, I thought they were supposed to fight in the Shazam movie, like he was supposed to be the bad
guy. It's changed a million times. It went from... Shazam, Black Adam was going to be the bad guy to, okay, now Black Adam is getting his own movie, but he's getting it first to, okay, well, now it's back to the Shazam movie and Black Adam's the bad guy. Okay, now none of that's happening. Now we're just getting Shazam and Black Adam's not even in it.
But he'll have his own later.
Yeah.
I want to make a clarification about
maybe.
Something.
There's so many like DC movies that are rumored.
But I think this is a pretty good lock. I think The Rock has said... that he is definitely going to be in it, but
he said he would like to. I don't think he's ever confirmed that it was
because he would be a good Black Adam. Jesse, I think it was Jesse. It may have been you, but I think it was Jesse said on, I believe Nerd Up, we talked about the muscle suit, and someone said something about, I mentioned Vinnie Jones in X-Men when he played the Juggernaut, and someone said that no, that was him. It just had this armor over him. No, that was a bodysuit. I want to clarify that that was definitely a bodysuit. Vinnie Jones is not.
It's the only reason you wanted to talk about trailers.
I did. I
so
just
you
wanted
call
to clarify
back that episode. From
I like
weeks
to
ago.
Win occasionally. And damn it, let me have it. I thought the Shazam the trailer looked really good. It looks like the most lighthearted DC movie they've done so far.
Which, to steal from Jesse, you couldn't trip over that bar.
But, you know, I guess I'm the only one in the world that I'm not, like, I don't mind a depressing story.
No, it can be fine, but it's when you decide that, oh, we've done a good thing taking a pretty depressing dark character and making a pretty depressing dark movie and making that really, really good. Well, the reason that we made such a good movie is because it was dark and depressing. We're going to take all the characters,
and make them dark and
regardless
burn.
Of how lighthearted they are at their best, and just we're going to just drive the soul right out of it.
I think it was Batman Returns. It was Batman or Batman Returns. Roger Ebert gave like 1 out of 4 stars to bring it back to Ebert. And he said that it wasn't a bad film, that it was actually well shot. It was well acted. Everything was good. It's just that he always saw Batman as a happy character. He's a superhero. He saves people. And I always thought that was wrong. I'm like, I think you missed the point of Batman.
But his entire view on Batman was shaped by Adam West.
The 60s, yeah. That Batman's not a happy character. You know, he's actually one of the more tragic characters. But.
This is a great movie. I just disagree with it. So, 1 star.
The Shazam looks like a completely different beast. It looks very, very happy, very silly. Mm-hmm. Not all of it worked for me. I always thought that Shazam and Billy were two different people altogether. See, I was wrong about that. Mm-hmm. I thought that when he turned into Shazam or Captain Marvel, a name you won't hear in that movie.
Can't say that.
that it would be like a different person. I didn't know he was just 10-year-old in an adult body now.
Yep.
Oh, well, that makes much more sense with what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, not so bad. Aquaman.
Actually, I don't think we talked about Aquaman on Sunday.
Yes!
Looks
really good.
I enjoyed it. I liked him in Justice League, but I also like Justice League as a whole.
Same. It's okay, brother. It's okay, brother.
And still doesn't feel right to say. I liked because Justice League did the thing where it's like they set up these things and it's like, oh, they're not going to address that. That's going to drive me nuts. But then they addressed it and it's fine. So I liked frat boy Aquaman.
Yeah.
I thought he had a good backstory. The thing where he's holding on to the, like where Wonder Woman slips the lasso on him in that big before the giant fight speech and he actually is.
Human?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. And I like the idea that he's kind of the outcast rightful heir.
Right.
Some of the...
Starring with Johnny Depp's ex-wife, mm-hmm. Amber Heard.
Some of the costumes
a
look...
sexy couple.
Interesting.
Some of the...
They got comic accurate Orm, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I kind of dig Black Manta, too.
That's what I was going to say. I didn't know he was going to be in it.
Yeah.
So we're watching the trailer, and all of a sudden I see him, and I was like, I said Black Mantis, and I don't know why, but I corrected myself, and I was like, holy shit, Black Manta's in it? He looks awesome, too.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how well he's going to do.
This is another one. Like, I will watch Shazam and Aquaman in the theaters
mm-hmm.
because I'm pretty sure at best they're going to be fun popcorn movies.
I think the Aquaman movie especially is going to be epic. Like, if the trailer's any indicator, like, it looks like not Lord of the Rings style, but just that epic war kind of at the end.
Man, if they're...
giant lobsters are fighting people, I was like, oh my God, this looks insane.
As long as their CGI holds up.
Yeah.
Because if that falls apart, it's going to take me out of it completely.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I also really hope that they don't spend a lot of time in his childhood. Because that was a pretty decent part of the trailer when he's being bullied in the aquarium.
I thought that was the worst CG of it.
It was pretty rough. The image of it as a still is pretty cool with him facing the rest of the class and all of
the fish behind him staring forward. Yeah,
right. I thought that was cool too. Image, but yeah, I hope that's just we're gonna knock out this flashback and that's that.
Yeah, because I really do feel like it's almost like it's got a very Lord of the Rings vibe to it with, you know, the armies and the war and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I hope they kind of embrace that more. Although they did kind of the same thing with Justice League with the Parademons. What are they actually called?
Parademons.
Parademons. The Parademons fighting like the Amazons.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the right term for them? Okay. I have to mess that up. But I think this could be much more fun. So I'm excited about the Aquaman movie too. What about Glass?
Love it. I'm so excited.
Did you guys talk about that on Nerd Up?
Yeah. I still haven't seen Split.
Me neither.
But
I've heard it's good.
I'm excited for it. I think James McAvoy looks amazing. I'm super excited just to get creepy, evil Samuel L. Jackson.
He was definitely my favorite part of that trailer.
He was my favorite part of Unbreakable.
See, I've never seen Unbreakable.
Really?
Yeah.
See, with knowing what it is now, I feel like it might take a little bit away from it, but Unbreakable is probably... my favorite, like I said on Sunday, it's probably my favorite Shyamalan movie.
See, and I thought that I would hate Split because I thought it was a horror movie. When I wanted to watch it, I wanted to watch it as a horror movie because I heard he turned into like the Beast.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found out he just kind of got bigger and a little angrier, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then now that I know what it is, into context that it's a superhero movie,
right?
It's different for me. Now I want to watch it on a different level.
But it's also not necessarily a superhero movie because it's about like the power of the brain and being able to like, if you believe something hard enough, then it becomes true and it can affect your body. I'm also super excited to see Sarah Paulson in it because she is amazing.
I like Sarah Paulson. Although I really only know her from
American Horror Story
and Law and Order.
Where she's constantly the best part of American Horror Story. Her and...
Evan Peters.
Well, Evan Peters and I can't remember her name. She always
Kathy Bates.
No. Well, I love Kathy Bates. She she always plays pretty much the same character, the super uppity just bitch. She was the neighbor in Murder House.
But she wasn't in it. She left after season 3, right?
She's been in it since like she was the original Supreme in Coven.
But she was not in
She was in Freak Show, she was in Asylum, she was
the newest one. She wasn't in the newest one.
The last one I've seen was Freak Show, so I don't know.
Okay,
I don't know if she was in Hotel or not.
Was it Faye Dunaway? No, not Faye Dunaway.
No.
I
think it is Jessica.
Jessica something. Damn it, Tanner. Okay, we'll say Jessica Jones, and Lange. I know Jessica Lange. Lange. Damn it! No, it's not Jessica Jones.
No, it's definitely not Jessica Jones.
That's a character. Fantastic Beasts: The Crimes of Grindelwald.
I don't care.
I don't either.
I just said
that so Tanner would flip me off. And he did. No, Tanner, it's fine. It's fine. We'll talk about it on our own. Tanner, don't be sad. It's fine. I'm sure it's good. If you like little wizards and magic, please don't throw your phone at me. All right, let's move on.
Yeah, Jessica Lange. Confirmed.
God, Tanner. Dragon Ball Super, I don't care about that one either. Just making him angry. The Purge TV show. I'm just looking at stuff that came out.
I didn't know there's a Purge TV show.
There is, and why?
I'm excited that they're doing Clone Wars again, just because I know that fan base is huge.
I did not see the trailer for it.
And it's been real.
Was it an actual trailer?
I haven't seen it either, because I haven't seen it. It's something I've kept trying to go back and rewatch, but it's like, it's been so long since I tried to watch this. I will start from the beginning, and then I get to episode 4 or 3, whichever is the Jar Jar Binks episode, and I literally turn it off because I can't get past it. It's so bad. It is one of the worst things I've ever seen. And Jesse's like, no, if you can skip all of the Jar Jar heavy episodes. They are totally skippable. And I'm like, yeah, but it puts such a bad taste in my mouth,
right,
that I just get bitter towards it.
What about all the DC TV shows? Supergirl, Flash, Arrow.
All right, we didn't get to talk about... we didn't get to say it on Nerd Up because PG show, but fuck Batman. Boy, that was the worst thing I've ever seen.
Did you hear the Thursday show?
No.
That was the theme. Because I told Jesse at the very beginning, I said, I know you're going to talk about this on Nerd Up, and I sold him, but your ability to use F-words on that show was very limited. It is not on the show. And he went into this tirade.
It looks so bad. It looks so bad. People are clinging to this hope that it's actually Raven is now in his mind, and that is what he's afraid he'll become. So that's not really what the show is. But if that's the case, why do you put that in the fucking trailer?
Yeah, because that's clickbait. I mean, that's bait and switch.
And
one's going to watch it for it. Don't get me wrong.
Dalton lost his mind. I know you didn't listen to it, but Dalton lost his mind on Sunday.
In a bad way, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah, it's Dick Grayson. And Dick Grayson is a character that is not dark and gritty.
Right.
Dick Grayson has always been the bright and, like, he is the Adam West.
Yeah.
Like, he's
the yin to Batman's yang.
Exactly. He was the one that humanized him. And that's why Jason Todd... when he first got found, he's like, well, no, you need a Robin. Or no, not Jason Todd.
Tim
Drake. He's like, no, Batman needs a Robin because it keeps him human. It keeps him, you know, sane.
Right.
Batman's not sane, but, you know.
I got you.
Batman would be stomping necks a lot harder if there wasn't a Robin there to kind of level him out.
Yeah, if this had been about Jason Todd, it could have worked.
Exactly.
Obviously, that couldn't really... Well, it could work. I mean, he could be Red Robin or I don't know, whatever.
Or even Damian.
Damian would be perfect for it.
But the problem is,
yeah.
Dick Grayson is the one who is...
The Titans.
Is it the Titan? Yeah. And it's just, it was terrible. It was terrible.
Bob said... I don't know if I told you. Bob said it looked like an MTV show with where they could say the F word.
Yeah.
It looks like a WB drama, a 49 drama. It looks like Arrow. It looks like those shows.
Which is fine.
But with cursing.
But, and like, because, like... cinematically, or the way it was shot and the way the effects looked, the very brief glimpses that we got, it looked good. It's just everything, like...
You criticized
so bad.
Justice League and those movies for being dark and gritty. Mm-hmm. Holy shit.
Yeah.
This movie, I saw someone's review said, oh, wow, this trailer's in two colors, dark and fire.
You know? Pretty much.
It looked so bad. And there were other people that I saw said, yes, finally, a mature story. Yes, give us more of this. And I thought, really?
Which, I mean, honestly, I'm fine with...
Saying the F word does not make you mature.
I was going to say, I'm okay with a mature story, but yeah, just fuck Batman and killing people. No, that's not...
So did you see my Facebook the day that came out?
Yeah. Because I was at work, so I didn't actually get to see the trailer until after I got off. So the first thing I saw was you just post, fuck Batman. And I was like, oh, he's doing a shot at me because of the joke I made the day before about why you keep posting this stuff just to make me angry. I don't remember what the other stuff was, but it was just why can't we just get along? And then I saw even more and
it
I was
progressed.
Like, okay, so this is a thing. And then I checked in the nerd news where someone posted the trailer and wow, this is terrible. And I'm like, oh, okay. There's some context I was missing.
Oh man, I had so much fun making those images. I think it was Jesse said, you're just happy you can say fuck Batman and no one can people think you're just a part of the joke, but in reality, you're taking jabs at him. I like Batman. Batman ain't going anywhere near this.
The It legitimately made me less excited for Young Justice season 3.
Really?
Because I'm like, wow, if this is the type of quality they're going to be giving these DCU exclusive shows, they're going to ruin Young Justice. And then we got like a 6-minute Young Justice like recap of season 2 into the trailer for season 3, and I was like, I'm back. Maybe it's just because it was mostly season 2 footage.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I still don't know how good season 3 will be, but
I'm just happy that we finally have a live action Batman show that's worse than
Gotham.
No, I've never actually watched Gotham, so I can't pass judgment. What was the one that was about Huntress? Birds of Prey. Yeah, Birds of Prey.
The '90s.
Yeah, which was that, but it was at least that '90s shitty. Like, it wasn't too dark, it wasn't grim, it was just there, as opposed to this being fuck Batman.
That's the character.
Yeah. It's bad.
Turns out it's a Darkman show.
Tanner, what do you got there? Batwoman's coming to CW.
I hope it's...
Well, she's going to be on Arrow?
Gross.
Not Legends of Tomorrow? Which has...
I don't know who you're going
John for. John Constantine. I'm just happy. Oh, yeah. I'm happy Constantine's on there. That's very
cool. That's going to make me actually like...
Want to watch
it? Have to watch Legends of Tomorrow.
Especially because it's the original actor and everything, which is very, very, very cool.
I did like him a lot.
I can't believe they got Keanu Reeves to do it.
Supernatural Light was a great show. It was so much fun.
I've watched 2 episodes of the original Constantine. Not because I don't want to watch it. I didn't have a way to watch it. And when I was at...
Wait, when you say the original Constantine, do you mean like the
NBC show.
Okay, gotcha.
And when I was at Lindsay's house last year, a couple years ago, they had a couple of episodes of it on. So I watched 2 of the episodes and I was like, this is pretty good.
It was fun. It was, but it did very much just remind me of like Supernatural Light when it's Monster of the Week and the overarching story wasn't
super compelling. I didn't even get a part of that.
Yeah,
so.
It wasn't super compelling for me. I was hoping, but it was one of those things where it's like, okay, they will catch their stride because they have some great elements here. They just need to figure out how to put them together in a way that I like.
Right.
Because it's all about what I enjoy.
On Friday, when they were doing the Comic-Con thing, I don't know why this made me think of it, just the shows and whatnot. I'm sorry. My brain's a little rattled today. But they ran an X-Files marathon on BBC America, and I got up a little late because I closed Friday night, and I turned it on, and the episode I turned it on to was Home. Have you ever heard of the episode of X-Files called Home? You can't do TV like this anymore. It starts with – do you ever hear about the X-Files episode with the inbred family?
Nope.
Tanner automatically knows what I'm talking about. So basically, the show starts with this woman giving birth, and these 3 like deformed men take it outside while it's crying, dig a hole for it, put it in the hole, and you see from the baby's perspective as they cover the dirt up, right? And the episode is about a family that murders, they find the dead baby, and they're like, well, it's 3 brothers. How did they have a child? They think they kidnapped a woman. So it's Mulder and Scully. There's nothing supernatural about it. They're just trying to investigate to find out what, like, if someone was kidnapped and whatnot. And then they get in like a standoff with the family. And in the end, it turns out that it's their mother, who is a double amputee, who has no arms or legs, that they keep under the bed that they have sex with to keep the family going. And when they come out too deformed, they kill the child and bury it. And in the
Jesus Christ.
Yes, I know. It was the only episode that ever got banned. And then they finally unbanned it years later.
Why?
Why they unbanned it? I don't know, but like, damn, man. You
can't bury
it
with the deformed babies. God.
You can't do shit like that anymore. Oh. Well, I'm glad I shared that story.
I mean, as long as the baby says fuck Batman, I guess it's fine. Like, comes back for revenge.
The baby comes out and it's just got a little note that says fuck Batman.
Like, bury it.
There's another hater.
It's another hater. Oh, bury the haters.
Last but not least, let's talk about Godzilla. And this is you said something.
I said on Sunday it's just like the only opinion on Godzilla that I really care about is Shannon's.
Well, what did everybody else say? I'm curious.
I mean, they thought it looked good. So I wildly misunderstood the trailer. So I guess it looks cool, like, it definitely looks like it's going to be an epic movie, but I don't understand what's happening at all, but I also didn't know it was a sequel to the latest Godzilla movie.
Did you not see the latest
Godzilla? And I still didn't, but, okay. And so by the end of the discussion we had, it's like, oh, well, then I need to watch the newest Godzilla movie then, because it was super awesome to see Ghidorah and, oh, I'm blanking on it now, but I actually pulled the name.
They told me you got the name right.
I got the name right, and it's...
Giant Pterodactyl.
Yeah, it's the R, it's... it's gone.
Rodan.
Rodan, yes. Yeah. I got it on Sunday. Listen to that. In Mothra, and it's like, and it looked epic, and it looked like a bunch of great set pieces. But I also didn't under, like, the only way to save humanity is to awaken the 12 Titans. Why? What do you mean? Do you mean like Ultron save humanity? Because clearly, no.
None of this was ever in any other Godzilla movie, mm-hmm. ever. That I was very confused by it. So I'm actually happier that they've kind of tied it into mythology, because the first Godzilla movie that they did, the one from 2014, the Hollywood one that they call it, mm-hmm. They pretty much just said that it's a race of things that live at the bottom of the ocean that come up like every once in a while when they detect nuclear whatever.
That's called Pacific Rim.
God, that's... Which was a great movie. Sequel?
No, I'm too scared.
It's not good.
Really?
It's not good. And I could spoil things for you. I'm not going to, but... I was like, really?
I'm fine with just living in the universe that they only made the first Pacific Rim and they made a perfect movie.
Good man. But in this one, I like that they're tying
Perfect movie.
You can't have the normal Godzilla standard, because the normal Godzilla standard was that Godzilla was a creation of ours.
Right.
That we made him. Because it was a Japanese, it was symbolism for
the atomic nukes, bomb, yeah.
Yeah, that we destroyed Japan with. So now they've taken a more mythological approach with it, where they're legendary. They're creatures that have always existed, which is cool. Mm-hmm. But, like, that seems wrong in a way. And what the hell are they doing? Why is there a storm around the girl from Stranger Things constantly? You know, like, if you saw that clip, it's
she's
like...
She's human Seattle.
It looked like Galactus was coming. And they're going to fight Galactus, maybe? I heard originally that was supposed to be Godzilla fights these monsters. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't look like that from the trailer.
See, and that's something that I mentioned on Sunday, too, is it's like, man, I really hope they're not just giving us these teases of like, okay, here's Ghidorah frozen in amber. Mm. And that's all you see. And you just see... And then, oh, well, the day is saved before... Like, oh, okay, so Ghidorah is... It's waking up. It's moving along. It's about to destroy. Oh, wait. The day is saved. Ghidorah goes back to sleep. Well, and that's all you see is like that outline. And
yeah, because there's that one part where he does, you see him moving, but right. It's against shadow and there's lightning and everything.
See, and that's what I mean. It's like, okay, oh, Ghidorah's coming. Oh, wait, nope. We figured it out. Everything's fine. Go back to sleep. Night.
I kind of feel like, and maybe I'm wrong, I need to watch the trailer again for the 30th time. But I think if you see Godzilla in the beginning, he has blue eyes. He has calm eyes, and then later his eyes are red. And I wonder if that has anything to do with it, or maybe I missed it.
Is that a thing, like in
no,
previous...
No, it's okay. Not, but I'm wondering. So the first movie very much portrayed Godzilla as the savior. He's the king of the monsters. He saved us from the Mutos, mm-hmm. which were generic giant cockroach beasts.
The kaiju. Oh, no.
No, this I, might
I,
as well call
You
him
finished
that.
The sentence, and I was like, okay, never mind.
But in this one, it's the actual monsters from Godzilla lore. It's King Ghidorah.
The kaiju. These are the kaijus.
So maybe Godzilla won't be the good guy in this one. Mm-hmm. Maybe all of the monsters do attack, and that sets up King Kong later, because...
Oh, is that still happening?
Yeah, King Kong versus Godzilla is next. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Which they've
How are you going to go from, like, if it's Godzilla versus Rodan, Mothra, and Ghidorah...
To King Kong?
Now you got a monkey.
Well, apparently the King Kong from that movie was a baby, so the actual King Kong's going to be much bigger, they said.
Okay.
I didn't understand that about the original? They made this movie once already in, like, the 60s, and it was terrible then. Because how does the giant, fire-breathing, indestructible monster god lose to a giant ape? And he did.
They made the King Kong movie with Jack Black.
Yes.
Like, forever ago.
Yeah.
Did they make a new... Kong Island.
Which was a complete remake.
That was a complete remake.
Yeah, nothing new with the original.
Is that the one that's tying into Godzilla then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because at the very end of that movie, they bring him in for questioning, and they show them cave paintings of other monsters, and mm-hmm. you see Godzilla and King Ghidorah, kind of like in this trailer where they go underwater and see it. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking that whoever... And I don't remember her name. Her name's like Tessa something, or Vera. Vera something. Mm-hmm. She was in The Conjuring. She's the main woman from this. I think that she does something to unleash the monsters against humanity.
That's what
because she thinks humanity is a plague.
Jesse said something like where it turns out like she's actually like this. It is very much the Ultron of the only way to save humanity is by ending all humanity.
Because there's a part in the trailer where Millie Bobby Brown looks at her and says, "You're a monster." Mm-hmm. You assume it's her. It could be trickery.
Yeah, it's that thing.
It could be somebody completely different.
She's talking to a human, but
right. Because she's talking to Godzilla. Godzilla's just listening.
Because there was a thing where it's like her and her husband are separated now. And
yeah, because the story is that...
Because
like,
again, when I watched this trailer, I had no idea it was a sequel.
She
was just like, boy, this is a lot of exposition they think I know.
For a movie.
Yeah.
She's kidnapped by Monarch. So Monarch is the organization that tries to keep these things in line and control mm-hmm. them and find them. And from what I read from the plot is that she and her daughter are kidnapped by Monarch, and are forced to find these other monsters for whatever reason. And that's all I really know. Mm-hmm. And I think that maybe she uses them to turn them against humanity for, like you said, Ultron.
Yeah.
But I don't know. All I know is that the imagery was great.
Yeah.
Like, this looks like a big budget blockbuster
sci-fi
Godzilla
just
movie.
Bonanza. Yeah.
My favorite part of the movie, and there was a lot of them that were cool, because the King Ghidorah, when you see him and the lightning in the background, mm-hmm. but by far the scene that made me go, and I actually teared up a little bit, was when Mothra spreads her wings. Mm-hmm. And I fucking hate Mothra. I think Mothra's it's a giant butterfly. Who cares? But when she spreads like her light wings, I went, holy shit, that's amazing.
I know you did it on purpose, but the fact you just called it a giant butterfly when its name is Mothra.
Son of a bitch.
Really bugs me.
I apologize.
Like, and then you saying that makes me think it wasn't intentional.
It was not.
Which makes it so much
it
worse.
It was not intentional in any way, and I want to apologize to everybody. I want to apologize to Austin Lane before he finds out about it.
He sent me a Facebook message the next morning and literally said, like, don't ever make a mistake about someone from Ghostbusters ever again. That is sacred. It's like, I know. I knew it wasn't right, and it's not the first time I'd done that.
But I think Godzilla 2 looks amazing. I cannot wait to watch it. I know I always talk about how I have health issues and like I feel my heart's going to pop at some point. I just want to live long enough to see Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
When is that? Did we get a release date?
May 19, I believe.
Really?
So next year.
Is that before or after Avengers 4?
Before, I think.
Because that's all I care about.
Because Avengers 4 is supposed to come out the exact same time that the last one did.
Is it?
So when did Apocalypse?
I thought it was towards the end of May.
After
Infinity War?
Yeah, I thought. Yeah, sorry.
No, that's X-Men.
So here's the things we didn't see anything about at SDCC. No X-Men. Like, they did talk about X-Men, mm-hmm. but the new movie apparently is just dead, I'm assuming. The one they were filming that's about the Dark Phoenix saga?
Yeah, I don't know. Especially with now the Disney deal, like we on Sunday talked
well
about Comcast has withdrawn from the bidding war, and I think we talked about how Disney got government approval for the buyout. Now they just got to figure out how Fox is going to split off, like Fox Sports and all that.
Right.
So, I don't know. I know they're not beloved. I know they're not as good as what the actual, like, Kevin Feige and Marvel will do with them. I enjoyed the latest run of X-Men movies.
Yeah, me too.
They haven't been great. They weren't near as good as anything the MCU was putting out, but they were still fun.
I think we could have a show about that, because like I don't violently disagree, mm-hmm. but I disagree on some of them. I still hold that First Class.
I still think
First Class is my favorite superhero
X-Men.
Movie.
Well, it's
superhero movie. Yeah, I just really loved it. And then Days of Future Past was really good. X1 was okay. X2 was good.
X2 was great.
Yeah, X2 was kind of like Spider-Man 2. Mm-hmm. It's just good.
You figured out, like, okay, this is the best way we can do all of this.
Right.
And then they did it.
And then X3 was god-awful.
Yeah.
Wolverine was bad. Not the Wolverine.
X-Men
Origins.
X-Men Origins Wolverine was so bad.
The Wolverine was pretty good.
I enjoyed it. It was,
too.
But again, but I also, I'm like, it's that I liked it. I know it's not good, but I liked it.
I could have done without the Silver Samurai stuff, because I think that, because my favorite part of that movie was just the realness of like him in Japan.
Yeah. The actual character.
Yeah. And then Old Man Logan. What was it called?
Logan, yeah.
Yeah. Logan was really good. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think the X-Men movies have done a good job, but they really strike that great balance of serious but not overly grim,
right,
like the DC movies. Mm-hmm. Whereas the Marvel movies are just tons of jokes and CG, and it's good. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong, it's good, but it's much more lighthearted than the X-Men series. So,
but they also do tackle like serious, like they do have very serious, very heavy emotional moments.
That's the thing with it. Like, if you're serious all the time, mm-hmm. and then you have a super serious moment, it's part of the course. Everyone expects it. When you have a lighthearted thing that has a serious, sad moment, it punches you in the gut.
Like when Guardians of the Galaxy, the way Guardians of the Galaxy 1 started.
Or the way Guardians of the Galaxy 2 ended.
God.
I have not cried more in a movie probably than Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Mm-hmm. Or take it back to what was that show that used to be on? Scrubs.
Yeah.
Scrubs was bad about it. Futurama was bad about it. You take a funny show, and then when something dramatic happens, boy, it hits you.
And not only because it's like, it's easy to just ham-fist something emotional mm-hmm. into it, but they did it so well,
right,
and it was so well done that even if it felt like it could have belonged in a dedicated drama.
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh, and then it's like when people review Call of Duty games in the campaign, because the campaign is just giant explosion-filled factory, and then we're going to the next giant set piece that's all, it's nothing but action.
Right.
There's no quiet moments to let the big action moments breathe at all.
Right. Yeah.
And you, and so when you shake things up like that, it's like, oh, why am I I didn't want to feel things, but here I am.
There's a really good part in one of the old Call of Duty games where, like, you die in a, I think, nuclear blast. Like, your character that you've been playing as, mm-hmm. like, the plane crashes, the helicopter crashes, and you have no choice but to kind of sit there and kind of move around as
you
the nuclear blast.
You just have to crawl out. As
yeah,
you
and
see
you die.
It. Yeah.
And that was, like, a super emotional moment, mm-hmm. but...
But then it was immediately like, okay, you're the next character. Now you're blowing everything up again.
Now you're blowing entire buildings off and stuff like that. We didn't see anything from Ghostbusters, which made me sad, because there's apparently a new movie in the works and an animated TV series, and we saw nothing, which made me sad. I care less about the movie because mm-hmm. I know the movie's probably not going to be great.
I don't know that I didn't know they were making another one. Is this a sequel from like the...
They haven't said.
Okay.
They just said there's another movie. And I think this one's done by Ivan Reitman, and which really sucks because I thought it's Paul Feig, right? That did Ghostbusters. I thought that was a good movie. I know Hunter and I disagree, but I love that movie.
Didn't they initially say that they were doing two Ghostbusters movies and there was the all-female cast and then they were doing like the all-male cast as well?
That was the original plan, but they canceled the male version and they went with the all-female. And then I believe the TV show is supposed to be based on the original Ghostbusters.
Is it live action or animated?
Animated.
Okay.
So I'm excited about that. We didn't really get to see a lot about it. We did get the trailer for the new Ninja Turtles. Mm-hmm. The Rise of the Ninja Turtles. Did you see that?
Mm-mm.
Danner, did you see that?
I saw the trailer they posted a couple months ago. That it looked better in motion.
It does look better in motion, but I'm still... And like this one, it seemed perfectly fine, but I'm not sold.
It's the angry fanboy of just like, it's not what I wanted.
Yeah, it's not what I remember.
How dare you make a thing that I have an expectation for, but no actual... Like, it's so entitled, and I know it, and I hate it.
You did get a lot of John Cena, though.
But I want it, and give it to me.
There's a lot of Cena in it, because he's one of the main bad guys. If
really?
Not the main bad guy, yeah.
Huh.
And
is he Meat Sweats?
Yeah, actually.
Oh, God.
No, wait, he's not Meat Sweats. He's like Lord.
Then I don't care. If he's not Meat Sweats, I'm not.
He might be Lord Meat Sweats.
Lord Meat Sweats.
You never know. I'm looking it up real quick.
He's
got a really generic bad guy title. It's like Lord.
Lord Darkon. Lord Darkon the Evil. Stomper of Babies.
Lord Dark Monster. You talk for a second while I find
bad it. Bad guy. What? We did get a trailer for... We got a teaser for Iron Fist Season 2. Just please be good. Just don't be bad.
You want it to be as good as the first one.
Why? No. I mean, I don't want it to be worse than the first one. So, yes. I hate the thing, though. It's the...
Baron Draxum.
That's a Power Ranger villain. That is, like, Season 50 of the Power Rangers.
Season 50?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised.
That's only like 4 years away, man.
I know. That's damn. But Dalton's not happy because the movie wouldn't use Power.
They said they're not. They said they are doing Steel Serpent and Typhoid Mary as the villains.
I like Typhoid Mary. She was always one of my favorite characters.
But it's the thing where I talked about on Sunday. It's like Marvel makes one good makes 8 great episodes in a 13 episode season.
Was that how the original Iron Fist was, or was it all? It was 5 good episodes in a 13 episode season.
I mean, it had its good moments. The problem was they kind of screwed with Danny Rand as a character, and mm-hmm. they made him like super not what Danny Rand used to be, and the payoff of him kind of discovering himself didn't even really happen until Defenders. Because he was better in Defenders, but he wasn't great. Like, the best he was, there was a crossover episode in Season 2 of Luke Cage. And it was my favorite episode of Season 2 of Luke Cage, by far. It was so good.
And you know who was in the Defenders? Susan Sarandon.
No, stop it. Why? Why do you do this to me?
Tanner pointed out the Bumblebee trailer. And
also didn't see it.
I did see it, and I don't know what I think about it, because it looked good, but I stopped caring about the Transformers movies. And this isn't a shot anyone that enjoys it, but I stopped caring after Dark of the Moon. I thought Dark of the Moon was... That's Allie. She's getting off work. Hi, Allie.
There was a beep.
But Dark of the Moon, I thought, was the best. And then they did the two with... I'm not going to say
Wahlberg.
Marky Mark. He deserves a...
No,
Marky
he's
Mark.
Not screw
Marky
him.
Mark. I didn't watch them. I did watch part of the last night because Bob had it on.
Wait,
and I remember why I stopped watching it. Yeah. So Bumblebee looks fine, but I don't know. An entire movie based around my least favorite Transformer? I don't know.
If it had
been called Starscream, I'd be there.
Is this a prequel?
Yes.
Okay, so can he talk?
No. He's still doing the stupid radio thing. He talks a little bit.
That's dumb.
I
don't care.
He's John Cena?
No.
John Cena does the voice for Bumblebee. son of a bitch.
I mean, I knew he was going to be in it. I thought he was going to be the Mark Wahlberg.
I thought he was playing Lord Draxum.
That would have been amazing. I want to see.
Tanner said he was at Comic-Con, always dressed as Bumblebee. I love John Cena. Screw the haters. Bury him in the dirt like the babies.
He's fine. I didn't like the first Transformers movie. I hated the second Transformers movie, and that was the last I had paid any attention to that series.
I say the third one was where I stopped, because the third one, I mean, you don't get any better than the final fight of Optimus Prime going ham beast and literally murdering everyone that gets in his way. Like, it doesn't get any better than that, and then they made more. So good for them. All right, we got to get out of here. We are done for the night. I'm going to go home. I'm going to drown myself in Pepsi and pizza. I'm literally going to put the Pepsi in a glass. I'm going to take a blender. I'm going to put the pizza in the blender. I'm going to pour them together.
Oh, it's so disgusting.
And you know what's not going to go? I'm going to pour it all over myself, but there won't be a single pineapple on any of it. So thank you guys.
Sorry to be on the wrong side of history.
Well, nowadays the wrong side is the right side.
Also scoreboard.
Son of a bitch. Fuck that, man. All right. We'll see you guys tomorrow for Pro Wrestling Unscripted. It's going to be a great show.
Now we are going to scream at each other as soon as you stop recording.
You guys have a great night. We'll see you tomorrow.